Yeah. You're checking out the Slam Magazine Respect the Game podcast. You heard it first from your boy, Jay.
Good world, it's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey, back again, suffering some technical difficulties, but we're gonna fight through it. I got my boy back from a hiatus, Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer, how you feeling, sir?
I'm good, brother. I'm good. Thank you for having me. Just had to take a little sabbatical with the team out in Vegas. So,
yeah. Speaking of which, how was that?
It was good, man. It was good, and there I got to meet a new teammate and brought him along with me to Slam. And this is his first time, but he's going to be a regular, I'm sure, and kill the show. So,
yeah, speaking of which, the newest net, D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo, thanks for coming through with Spencer. You know, as I was saying before, I was waiting to ask him to bring somebody by, and, you know, he came through big time for me. So, welcome, man. It's really a pleasure to have you.
Appreciate that. Like I said, appreciate the invite, too, Spence.
So, how's the summer going for you guys? D'Angelo, I think, you know, you probably just got to New York pretty recently. Spencer, you've been bi-coastal, as they say. So, you know, what you've been up to, Spence? Why don't you just, you know, tell the people what's good? I saw you at the J. Cole show last night. How was that?
Yes, sir. Man, J. Cole is an amazing performer. You know, he's definitely one of the best out. So it was amazing to be able to go and watch that and kind of just be in that moment, as he kind of said during his show. So that was a pretty dope experience. Personally, I mean, I'm pretty laid back, chill guys. You know, I'm just working out and going where the Nets tell me to go. So, you know, Vegas, back in Brooklyn, time off in LA, seeing my family. Other than that, just working out. So.
Yeah. And what about you, D'Angelo? What you been up to this summer? I know you were out in Vegas too, you know, taking in the summer league, probably just chilling out a little bit. I saw you working out with Jeremy and Sean. So, you know, how's it been just getting integrated with the team, and what's your experience been like thus far?
It's been great. Similar, I feel like a lot of us have a similar, you know, off season training. For me, it was different a little bit, just getting traded and trying to get acclimated in New York. So everything's just been a whirlwind, but the team's been, like I said, open arms, you know, from day one, and just makes it that much more exciting.
So how long? So you've been back in New York for what, Spencer? Like a week, 2 weeks now?
Nah, man, I've only been back for about like 3 days.
And you got right back to the gym, huh?
Oh, for sure, got to.
So was this the first time you two had worked out together, or you had previously gone through some workouts?
Yeah, this is the first time. I've seen him play a few times, you know, just outside of the, you know, the league. But, first time really getting that chance.
So no one-on-one battles yet, I presume?
Nah. Like we said before, the technical difficulties. I haven't played him, and last year I didn't play Brook Lopez. But anybody else that was on the 2016-17 roster, they caught that L, so.
They know what it is.
They know what time it is. We also had a conversation, though. D'Angelo Russell was D-Lo, for short, right? Was describing his proverbial bag, right? Yeah. Talking about skill set. So I would love for you to describe this bag.
Yeah, tell the people about the bag, man.
Tell the people. We want to hear it.
I've never heard anybody explain their bag, you know, so I guess this is my first take at it. I told him my bag was one of one. It's expensive, and, you know what I'm saying, it's a lot of tools in there. So when it comes to the one-on-ones, I just have fun with that, you know, and whatever it is.
I'm nearly speechless at the description of the bag. I've never heard the bag described in such a way.
Exactly.
Spencer, how would you describe your bag?
My bag? So I'm gonna stay true to my colors, true to myself, right? Really, it would be like one of those, you know those old cartoons, right? Where like Wile E. Coyote got those like little black things and he throw it on the ground. It's like a limitless hole. So I got like one of them little cartoon bags.
Okay.
That says Acme on it and stuff. And I just reach in there and just keep going. It just don't stop. Like you pull out one gun. We pull out another. Oh, that we'll pull out a grenade. Okay, what you need? Like that's the way the bag goes. So for me,
the bag is versatile.
It's outrageously versatile. It is limitless. It's not necessarily a designer or expensive. It'll show up in Lululemon while you in Louis Vuitton. But the bag has yet to fail. It does not lose.
Man, the infallible bag, man. So we got the expensive bag versus the infallible bag. I think my bag is probably shoddy. Not really too reliable, but comes through in the clutch, man. That's how I would describe my bag.
That's life.
Yeah, facts. But yeah, you know, I'm sorry, that threw me for a loop. I was not expecting the bag talk so early in the podcast. I was thinking, you know, just about your team in general now that you added Alan Crabb. And I think Alan said the only person he knew on the team was Spencer. So, yeah. Spencer, how did that relationship come about? How do you know Alan?
Well, I grew up with him. So he went to Price High School in L.A. I went to Taft, which is obviously in the Valley, but I grew up and still live in L.A. So, you know, that's just kind of how that was fostered. And he played for Compton Magic. I played for Pump and Run, which were two of the best Adidas teams, at least when I was coming up. And, yeah, so that's pretty much how we know each other. And then he went to Cal and I went to Colorado, so we both battled in the Pac-12, and I'm looking forward to playing with him.
Yeah. So, D'Angelo, like, what were the workouts like when you were out in Vegas with Jeremy and Sean? Like, how did you guys link up? What was that whole ordeal like?
It was cool. You know, like I said, just being around a lot of the veteran guys, I kind of got a feel for the team and the environment. It was great. You know, we had a lot of the coaches out there just doing, I don't know, bigs were on one side, guards were on one side, a few competitive shooting drills. So I thought it was very productive in the time being.
Yeah. And then, so Spencer, you didn't partake in any of these drills, right? You were working out with the squad. So how was, you know, what was your Vegas experience like compared to that, them working out with Jeremy and Sean, you working out with, I knew with Isaiah and Rondé, and I mean, I assume Coach Hackett was running those drills, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, ours was more like a normal practice, but obviously we only had, what was it, maybe five, I think it was five roster guys. So, you know, just like a normal Nets practice, it just so happened that we were predominantly the summer league guys and then the five roster guys, and just kind of went at it, got some 5-on-5 in when it was time to do that, got competitive shooting drills in as a unit, ran through plays, did pretty much ran the game, but kind of just treated it just like a season, more or less. So.
Yeah, and I thought it was cool that, you know, that you had these roster guys that Coach Atkinson was coaching the team, that, you know, D'Angelo and Sean and Jeremy were there to support you guys. Like, I think it said a lot about the franchise and just, you know, how the Nets operate. It's like, I mean, not necessarily like, well, I guess maybe like a family, but also like very, you know, everything is very tight knit and sewed up, buttoned up. Like, it's very professional, it feels like.
I mean, I feel like to your point, to have Kenny coach us, because of how many roster guys we had on Summer League, which is obviously fairly unusual.
Yeah.
But to have Kenny coach us was a really good feel, you know. So it was just really cool to have his support and have him on the sideline with us.
Yeah, and then D'Angelo, did you have like any talks with Coach Atkinson while you're out there? Like, what's your relationship with him right now?
It's been great. I thought that was impressive though for Coach to coach Summer League like that. Our communication has been great. Just from day one, like I said, just from the whole staff, everybody's been open arms for me. And Kenny, being the head coach, and his communication that we've had has been great too. So.
Cool. And then, you know, what were your main takeaways from Summer League? Like, from my viewing point, that was probably the most popping Summer League I've seen since, you know, I started covering the NBA, like, just as far as the people who were showing up. I know, D'Angelo, when you were with the Lakers, like, the Lakers games are always crazy, but it feels like every game was, you know, fairly well attended, and you know, the cameras were out, they had crews there calling the games. It felt like, you know, it mattered. Summer League really counted.
Let's be real here. It's, people love drama. LeVar created drama. He created a dream scenario, and it came to fruition in terms of them winning. But he sold everything. He sold his son. He sold his brand. He sold all that. So people came and watched. I mean, Lakers always gonna have a fan base in Vegas because Vegas doesn't have a team and it's right down the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But he created that drama, so everybody came and tuned in.
Yeah, but I mean, that's beneficial for everyone on the roster, because, you know, everybody, people that may have not been seen at all. Everyone's got eyes on them now. Like, what? Yeah. What was my man's name on the Lakers? The white Caruso? Dude. Yeah, Caruso. Like, who the hell had ever heard of him before? And then, you know, he comes and balls out. He gets a deal. Like, so I feel like, you know, LeVar is wild and he's always going to wild. But, you know, it kind of worked out for everyone involved.
I think everybody looking forward to playing the Lakers.
I thought Summer League was great. Summer League was I thought it was intense. A lot of the new rookies and stuff came and performed the way they were supposed to. So, yeah, I thought Summer League was definitely better than the last few years.
Oh, who impressed you the most? What, I mean, outside of the Nets, the people on the Nets, what player really, you were like, damn, like, this dude surprised me?
It's not even close. Kyle Kuzma. I mean, he the reason we lost the game, so.
Yeah.
And he the reason they won the championship. I mean, he did his thing. I mean, as a 20 whatever pick he was, he played like he was a top five dude, just like, you know what I'm saying, the other top five guys over there. So he impressed me the most. Him and I mean, you said no mentioning Nets, but I'm still gonna throw him in there. Him and Karis. So
Karis.
Those two people really impressed me in terms of summer league.
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Karis, like, just the way, you know, the Nets, I mean, backcourt is kind of configured now between you two, Karis, Whitehead, I mean, Alan Crabbe now. Like, you know, I feel like it's going to be crazy competition. Jeremy, of course, yeah, pardon me. Jeremy Lin, I mean, I feel like you guys, you know, that's a pretty formidable backcourt, you know, that runs five deep. So, I mean, how are you guys feeling just about the way the backcourt is set up, how the roster is set up heading into the season now?
I think we got a lot of guys, you know, so I think the practices and stuff is going to be that much more competitive. So I'm looking forward to that. And then I feel like a lot of people are going to – you're in a position to earn what you want. Mm. You know, it's up for grabs. And so, yeah.
And then are you looking forward – I know, you know, Kenny Atkinson is kind of known for, you know, how he built up Jeremy Lin when Jeremy was in New York during the whole insanity thing. So, you know.
Oh, he was there for that?
Yeah, he was like – I know that. Yeah.
That's what's up.
He's like development guru. Like, yeah. That's like his thing.
I didn't know that.
Well, that's, you come to Slam, you learn new things, man. So. But, yeah, Kenny was like, you know, behind the scenes. He worked with Jeremy every day at practice before, you know, when Jeremy was, you know, the 10th, 11th man on the bench, and, you know, worked him through drills and all that. And then once he got his shot, Jeremy was like, Coach Atkinson is, you know, a huge reason why this even happened. So, I mean, hearing that now, like, does that – make you, does that, do you, are you looking forward to work with him now, just knowing that now?
I mean, yeah, I was, like I said, I was already excited, you know, just from the communication, but yeah, I didn't know that, so that's definitely impressive.
Yeah. And then what about you, Spencer?
Oh, of course. You know what I'm saying? Haven't been around him for, was it now, just a little less than a year. Yeah. I mean, you see how knowledgeable he is about the game, how passionate he is about the game, and how good of a leader and manager of people he is. So, you know, it's always a pleasure to be around the Nets organization. As I've told you before, yeah. I mean, they're all nice people. So it's really – it makes it a fun working experience.
Yeah, and it's like the way, you know, the guys are set up now between, you know, yourself. You've been around the league a minute now, been up and down, D-League and on rosters. You know, D'Angelo's been traded. Jeremy's been, you know, traded, signed to big deals. You know, Whitehead was a second-round pick. It's like – kind of a cast, like, not necessarily underdogs, but, you know, a group of guys who have seen a lot of shit for, you know.
No doubt.
For such a young crew. So, I mean, do you feel like, Spencer, you could probably speak to this a little more than D'Angelo can just because, you know, he's new to the team. But do you feel like you guys have a common bond because of that?
For sure. Being counted out definitely gives you a common bond. But, I mean, I think this is something D'Lo can speak to as well. I mean, the adversity just makes you stronger. I mean, everything that you go through is a learning experience, and it continues to mold and shape you as a man. And so, you know, everything that I've gone through is I mean, as cliche as it sounds, makes me everything that I am. So,
yeah. In this league, I feel like there's a lot of adversity that people go through that you can't really control. So, piggybacking off what he said, it's definitely true.
D'Angelo, like, do you feel like this is like, I don't know, not necessarily a fresh start for you, but, you know, kind of a way to just, you know, just get back to ball, like not have to worry about any of the extracurricular BS that was going on with the Lakers? Like, do you feel like this is a chance for you to, you know, just come back out and, you know, just focus strictly on nothing but ball?
I wouldn't even say that that's what I went through with the Lakers, honestly. Mm-hmm. I think just in general, you're still a professional at the end of the day. You're still an NBA player, and it's one of the best jobs. So getting that opportunity to just be out there on the floor, like you said, with four new faces you're going to be playing alongside with is obviously a good opportunity to start over and do all of that. But like I said, I'm just looking forward to just playing. You know, it's no different for me.
Yeah. Spencer, from your point of view with D'Angelo coming in, I guess even though you're not much older, you're technically his vet at this point. So do you, you know, plan on providing like a little guidance for him, just being there? You know, you seem like, even though you guys kind of just met, as far as being teammates, do you feel like, you know, you guys got a good relationship now? Like, you're going to take him under your wing a little bit, or what's going on?
Oh, I mean, I can give him any knowledge about the Nets that he wants to know, but in terms of, like, actual game experience, I mean, he's played a lot more minutes than me. Yeah. So I think it's going to be a synergistic thing. I'll be asking for advice from him as well. So, I mean, he's a great player in his own right, obviously. And, you know what I'm saying, to this point, he's had a much more successful career. So, you know, it's going to be, I think, a little bit of both ways.
Did you just drop synergistic?
Yeah, man, come on. Look, I'm an eloquent speaker, man. We can do this all day. My vocabulary is an expansive bag. Like,
yeah.
It's just like the game.
So the vocab is related to the bag.
Hey, I'm going to use something that D'Lo said earlier. He said mental gymnastics. It's the wordplay. It's why people love me.
Yo, I actually got a bone to pick with you.
Oh, what is it?
You ain't been as active on Twitter lately, man.
Yeah.
It's all like perception is... The one you dropped the other day, you got real fake deep on people. You're like, perception is something. And I was bugging.
Hey, nah, perception, man. That's my word right now. Something I'm rocking with. I need everybody to remember that. It's going to come into play very soon.
Perception?
Perception. Uh-oh. Remember that word for me, everybody.
Yo, so I'm curious. While you guys are out in Vegas, obviously that's like a hub of high school ball in the summer and AAU ball. Were you privy to, you know, what was going on with LaMelo Ball and Zion Williamson? Like, they had a huge game out there. Like, LeBron couldn't even get into the gym. Like, they were talking about shutting the gym down. I mean, from an NBA player's perspective, were you guys aware of that? Like, that they were even playing and that whole thing was going down?
Nah, I just saw, you know, I saw the hype on it. You know, I didn't really get to tune in on it, but I guess if it's advertised like that, you're going to want to see it. And I feel like a lot of people pay good money to go see it. You know, I didn't know LeBron couldn't get in and all that. But I guess it was something good to see.
Yeah.
Nah, man. I mean, like you said, I'm on Twitter, so I hear about a lot of stuff. I actually didn't know the LeBron thing necessarily. As far as the game itself, yeah, of course I heard about it. I tuned in about 2 minutes of it. I mean, I didn't necessarily enjoy watching it. But, I mean, it's the truth. I don't like to, like, trap in long passing.
Yo,
that's a personal preference.
And I was thinking about it, just the way, like, because you're right, you know, it's not, like, real actual basketball.
Well, because it'll never happen in the league.
Exactly.
Or really at the college level, to be honest.
Exactly. But there are AAU programs that actually, like, run offenses and run set plays and don't just trap and throw the ball 50 feet down court every single time.
But they ain't got Zion Williamson who can put his feet on top of the rim, and they ain't got, you know what I'm saying, the Ball brother who is obviously LeVar's son. So
it's, I mean, yeah, it's entertainment at the end of the day.
Exactly. That's what this thing about.
Yeah, but it also, like, I don't know, I feel like it just maybe not gives AU ball a bad rap, but is a misrepresentation of high school ball at this level.
For sure. I mean, obviously some of the most critical development you go through is in high school and obviously college as well. So it has its place, AU ball, in terms of getting you exposure and getting to college and advancing your game and allowing you to play against other great players. Like, it definitely has its place. But like you said, the perception of it right now, the mass perception is what kind of the reality is going to become. You know what I mean? If a lot of people think that it's not exactly like highly executed basketball, if it's just people running up and down dunking and this, that, it loses validity. So
yeah,
you know what I'm saying, that's just kind of what's facing right now.
So you were class of 2011, right?
Yes, sir.
You were 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So you were with like D-Buck, Carl Towns, I think Okafor, right? Yeah. We're all in that class. Like, was there anything, I mean, on that level when you were going to games? Like, do you remember gyms being packed out, or what was your AU experience like? You played in the Nike circuit, right?
Yeah, EYBL did a, you know, great job of bringing that, you know, that environment. So I've always enjoyed that. You know, I wouldn't say it was that level, because I seen the, you know, a little bit of the crowd or whatever, just from like Ball's Life highlights and stuff like that. But I think it's definitely grown. So,
and then, so who was in your class 2011?
Anthony Davis, Austin Rivers, Gilchrist, Marcus Teague, and Cook.
Yeah,
those guys.
Yeah. So I mean, like, even for Anthony Davis, who was the number one player that year, was there anything on that level?
I mean, I was on the Adidas circuit, so I didn't play a lot of those guys. So no, I don't really remember it being nearly as packed as it was for that game, like at all. I mean, we had fans, obviously. It'd probably be like maybe half, three quarters full. So, you know what I'm saying? When you're in a big Vegas gym and you're in AU, you think it's rocking. You know what I mean? Like, because you don't understand the context of like a 20,000 seat arena. You know what I mean? But no, it wasn't anything to that level.
Mm-hmm.
Not when I was playing.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, you played with Ben Simmons in high school too.
Yeah.
So, and I mean, you were a highly touted recruit too. So, I mean, I feel like, you know, where you guys are now, it's only been, I mean, you've both been in the league for what, like 3-4 years now? Like, for a high school kid to get that much exposure, I mean, does it kind of blow your mind that when you were 17 years old that something like that is even feasible?
I mean, yeah. Like I say, I played with Ben. My high school was kind of, you know, that's where we got a lot of our exposure. Definitely on the AU circuit, but high school was, we got a lot of attention just from being the school we were at and who we were playing against, Oak Hill Academy, Finley, all those known schools. So the atmosphere was always like that. And playing on ESPN and stuff, so you kind of get accustomed to it. And I think it did a good job of prepping me for college.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you play in college, not a lot of schools play on college. I mean, on TV in college. So when we got that attention in high school, it kind of prepped me to not, you know, not get as excited and not really worry about all the other stuff. It's just like another game and stuff like that. So I think the way the game's changing for that level is great.
So you played at the Garden then with at the Dick's Sporting Goods Nationals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, was that the first time you had played in a pro arena?
No. I played in like the McDonald's All-American, Jordan Brand, stuff like that before. But it was definitely different, you know. It was definitely different.
Weird. And then Spencer found out today that, you know, you had some Rajon Rondo comparisons when you were in high school. I know you two had the same coach with Doug Bibby. I mean, what was that like knowing that a dude like Rondo, who's from your neighborhood, like, and probably, you know, to you were probably kind of in awe of him when you were a kid, I'm sure, just because of the level he was at. So, you know, what was it like to get those comparisons when you were in high school?
I think the comparison just came from, I don't know if it was our style of play. I think it was more of where we were from, where we grew up,
mm-hmm.
you know, coaches and stuff like that. But I think he developed a reputation around the league that kind of, I don't know, it was like an umbrella effect on anybody that came out of our city. And I just happened to be the first to come out after him. Mm-hmm. So I kind of got those comparisons a lot and those, you know, reputation comparisons and stuff like that. So, I mean, I wouldn't say it was bad or anything. Rondo's a great dude, great player. Had a hell of a career.
Yeah.
You know, and,
having a hell of a career still.
I think he's gonna turn it up a little bit more too, you know, going into New Orleans. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like amongst, you know, NBA circles, and by circles I mean actual like rosters and players, like, he's still super respected.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, he showed what he, even in Chicago during the playoffs, like, when he gets an opportunity, you know, his bag mm-hmm. is different.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Spencer, you were teammates with him for a little bit. Like, what was your experience with
Rondo? One of the best teammates I ever had, bar none.
What's his bag like?
yo, the only way you can describe players from now on is what their bag is like.
I gotta describe his bag. I feel like describing another man's bag is like a highly personal thing. You know what I mean? Like that's exactly why I phrase it that way. Cause it's like, you know what I mean? We're gonna have to get Rondo on the show. Like you might have to make a call. I might have to make a call if his number's still the same, and we gotta get him on the show because he. You can only do it from your own perspective.
You can only describe your own bag.
Exactly.
Yeah. So when you hit him, you got to be like, yo, just be prepared to describe your bag. Do you think he'll have any idea what that means or not?
To begin with, probably not. He'd probably be like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, nah, he'll come on here and give a wonderful answer. It'll probably be something for the ages.
Yeah, I feel like he's a really smart dude, like,
extremely,
on the low. Yeah.
Extremely.
Yeah, word. So yeah, I mean, D'Angelo, this is super random, but yeah, you know, what are you gonna do with your dogs? Are they coming to Brooklyn or are they staying in LA?
Nah, I'm moving with my parents. My mom, she still lives in Kentucky. She has a yard and stuff, so I'll just leave them there.
Yeah. Do you know about his dogs?
I did not.
Yo, his dogs are amazing.
What dogs you have?
They're Bernese Mountain Dogs mixed with poodles.
Uh-huh.
So they're like. Curly head.
Beautiful dogs.
Cool.
And he puts them on his IG story all the time. And I'm like, damn, these not only really good looking dogs, but are also super well behaved. So, I mean, props to you. I got a dog too, and it's not well behaved at all. So, I'm a little jealous.
See, I want to get one.
Yeah?
What about here, though?
I do.
New York.
But, you know, I be lonely sometimes, though. Like, I need love.
Get a cat.
What?
Nah, no, don't get a
I
cat.
Ain't no cat person, man.
Nah, don't get a cat. Get a dog. You can get a dog.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, get and you got bread. You can have someone come take care of it when you're on the road.
Man, I don't know. You thought you were talking to him. My name is D'Angelo Ross.
You got an assistant.
You got an assistant?
That's
got
to mean something.
Man, look at you.
I got friends.
Look at you.
And that got to mean something.
Look at you. You got friends. Huh?
Uh-oh, the assistant.
Code name Lil Meech.
Oh, man. But, yeah, I just want to, you know, hit on some of the big stories in the league right now. Obviously, the one that's dominating the news cycle is the whole Kyrie Irving thing. I mean, it's just, I guess, speaking from my perspective, I don't get why you would want to leave LeBron. I feel like if you play with him, you know, that's an automatic trip to the finals at this point, at least to the conference finals. So, I mean, I understand that he wants to have his own team. Allegedly, he hasn't even really spoken on the topic, but, you know, things are in the news cycle. So I'm wondering what, you know, your perspective of this whole thing is, and what do you think about the whole Kyrie rumors and everything?
I got a scenario for you.
Yeah.
This is a real question I'm going to ask both you, Pete, and D'Angelo. So, if your girlfriend was scared that you were going to leave her.
My wife.
Or your wife.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know what I'm saying, they preemptively strike. Is that, like, plausible?
So, to paint a little more of a broader brush here, you're insinuating that Kyrie may or may not think that LeBron may or may not bounce from Cleveland next year after his contract is up.
No, I didn't say that. I asked you a question. I mean, if you think that, what would you do?
See, but that's the thing. Like, would you want to ride it out? And, you know.
No. You're asking me. I'm asking you.
All right. I'm riding it out.
You riding it out.
I'm riding it out for 1 year because I know if I'm teammates with him, I'm taking it to at least the conference finals with a potential shot at the finals. And then, you know, letting the chips fall where they may.
Got
at
you.
The end of the year.
Gotcha.
I think everybody, you know, has their own agendas. So if that's the way you want to go about it, only they know. You know, I don't think anybody else knows. Whatever you want to say, if you say Kyrie's this, he's that, he feels this, he wants his dad, he wants this, only he knows.
Yeah.
So we'll just have to wait and see when he speaks on it or anybody else that really knows.
And I mean, that's the thing, like, he hasn't even spoken on it at all. And I feel like a new story is coming out every day, you know, that he's not going to commit to a team long term if he gets traded. He only wants to get traded to these three teams. So, you know, being that you guys actually play in the NBA. Like, how much of this is actually true? How much of this is just bullshit? Like, how do you cut through it? Are you guys in the same boat? Like, you don't really know either.
Nah, we're not on the Cavs, so I mean, there's no real way of knowing, right?
What do you think about the situation?
Well, I think about the situation. Yeah. I gotta see when I start thinking about the situation, I start coming up with more and more questions. In which case, I have another question for you, Pete.
Yeah, but the thing is, he's asking
still not answering.
I have another question for you, Pete.
You sure you want a whole season of this?
I have another question for you, Pete.
I do a lot of listening to this,
Pete.
Too.
Check it. Here's my next question, right? So.
I asked the question.
Because now I got a question. Like, you guys feed me information, right? And sometimes I just have to ask more questions so I can get a better understanding of everybody's mindset. So you seem to be with the stick it out philosophy, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say she might about to leave you or something, and you want to preemptively strike, but you don't. You wait a year, right? What if during that year, this bad joint living across the hall from you, right? She like you a lot, like a ton. And right when you get ready to leave, she moved to like LA or something. You know what I mean? And then, I mean, you can't get hurt and you can't get the one, you know what I'm saying, that's leaving. Like, now you in trouble. You go from potential 2 to 0. Like,
but this is like basketball and like real life, actual like relationship with a woman. I don't know, maybe it's not relatable like to me. Maybe you guys see it a little differently, but
no.
For me, I'm like, all right, this is Kyrie.
I'm monogamous, so like it's it's tough to speak about other people's relationships with their significant others. I was just simply posing questions. That's all I was doing.
So what do you think about the
Kyrie and LeBron?
Yeah.
Oh, well, because I'm not on the Cavs, I have no way of really knowing. So
yeah, but you gotta have an opinion, right?
Opinion? I mean,
yeah.
I think what's gonna happen is what's gonna happen, and no,
what's gonna happen?
We don't know. There's no way of me knowing. There's no way because I mean, once again, I'm not in that locker room. I don't know either of them personally.
Uh-huh.
Like the most conversation I've ever had with LeBron James is, "Hi, LeBron. Hi, Spencer." And then that's it. So, I mean, there's no way of me knowing what that man's thinking about Kyrie or vice versa. So, for me to speak on it, I just can't do it. Sorry.
That's all right. I wish you would, though, because I know you got, I can tell by the way you're posing these questions what's going through your head. But I'm not going to put you on blast like that.
Hey, man, look, I simply ask questions. Anything else is an assumption.
All right, man. This guy. I tell you, man, this might be the last podcast I ever do with your ass, man. I swear. but you know, obviously every player who's interviewed now is like pretty much asked about the Kyrie situation because it is the biggest story in the NBA right now. And I don't know if you saw, but Damian Lillard was asked about it.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he said something, whatever, gave a kind of a non-answer. He's just like, you know, people respect Kyrie, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And his words either got twisted, misconstrued, what have you. And then, you know, he tweets, I think, you know, players are going to stop, just going to stop doing interviews now. If this is what's going to happen. I mean, from my perspective, like, that sucks. Because, I mean, Slam is a little different. Like,
for sure.
You know, we're player friendly, obviously. So, you know, we're not going to mince your guys' words and, you know, just so we can get a couple page views. Like, we're not about that. But, like, you know, it's unfortunately part of the business now.
Yeah.
So from your perspective, D'Angelo and Spencer, you know, what, like, is that possible? Like, you guys just going to be like, you know what, we're done doing interviews because, you know, things get – I mean, D'Angelo could probably speak this a little more because, you know, of everything that's gone down in the past. Like, how do you – what's the relationship with the media now that
– Paint your own picture.
Yeah.
Paint your own picture, simple as that. And I've learned that, you know, whatever questions or anything that's thrown your way, brought to your desk that you feel like you have to respond to, you don't at the end of the day. So I've learned that, and my family preaches that. So when I go to interviews and some crazy stuff comes my way, I just kind of answer how I want to answer. And it could be completely, like, off topic, and that's – I don't have to answer. Somebody else can give you what you're looking for.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't know, that, you know, that it just hurts. Like, it doesn't hurt, that's the wrong word, but it sucks. Because, you know, we want you guys to be comfortable and open and honest when Definitely. We ask you questions. But, you know, I feel like, you know, you even look at the way, like, the Stephen Curry thing with LeBron. Like,
yeah.
you see him at a exactly. wedding. He's at a wedding trying to enjoy himself. And exactly. even that, you know, gets turned into some a place that should be sacred.
Yeah.
You know, gets flipped and turned into a story that, you know, Curry's mocking LeBron. And it's like, you know, we're clocking your guys' social media feeds. It's like, you know, just because you
have that's why we love you guys. Because you guys are player friendly. That's why when people tend to shy away, from some other media or news outlets because of their personal feelings towards those specific places,
mm-hmm.
Slam never gets shunned because you guys are so player friendly. And I think once again, it's all about working together. I could pull out synergistically again, but I mean, I'll leave that over there in the back. You know what I mean? But it's really just all about working together. The more you make us feel comfortable, the more we'll give you, and the less we'll give you. I mean, it's a very, very simple thing. And from Damian Lillard's point, he had a really long quote. They picked out the single excerpt and didn't use it in context so that they could get some clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're gonna do that, remember, like, anybody could pick out anything. I'm sure there's a phrase in this podcast where if I took it out that you've said, right? That if I took it out and used it out of context, I could say, Pete Walsh said this, that, and the third. He's this terrible. You know what I'm saying?
If anyone, if they're quoting my bag, I'm straight. That's it. Exactly. Anything else, I'm getting mad about.
But yeah, man. No, we have a good relationship, good rapport here at Slam. So you guys aren't going to ever get shunned.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not trying to bash, you know, other media outlets. I'm just like, you know, as you guys are athletes and have some celebrity appeal to you, so obviously people care about what you say and, you know, how you say it and your stance on things. But, you know, for players to like get the whatever music is playing in the background and that's flipped into a story, it's just like, it's too much, man. You know, we're doing too much clocking of social media, and like, obviously you guys, you know, use social media a lot, so it's our access to you, you know, because not everyone gets to be in the room with you like this for, you know, an hour or what have you. So I don't know, like, does that make you think about the way you use social media, like, and how you, you know, portray things either on Twitter or what have you? I mean, you're a frequent user. You know, had the thing in LA in the past. So I don't know. I mean, like, are you cautious of your social media use, or are you just like, whatever, like, I'm going to use it how I feel?
I kind of say what I want, to be honest. I just, I try to give it to the people the way they can digest it.
Mm-hmm.
As simple as that, really.
Yeah. And I mean, I feel like you're one of the more like social media friendly players, like as far as interacting with fans. Like, do you feel like that's a good outlet for you to get in touch with people?
For sure. I mean, I think they get a little bit better picture of who I am, the way my mind works. Yeah. Like, to an extent, obviously, social media is still so very impersonal. But I mean, the purpose is to try to humanize everybody. So, you know, let them kind of see who I am a little bit.
Mm, word. Speaking of social media, we posted yesterday who had the hottest Kobe's. We picked four. So, but look, man, people were saying your shits were the hottest. I can't front.
Exactly, because they were. Purple is my favorite color.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so if you're going with a clean white with a little splash of purple, I mean,
I didn't see him.
No.
I didn't see.
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold.
I had some nice Kobe's my rookie year.
That's not fair.
I ain't make the list.
That's not fair. It does not count. If you getting them direct from the man, you can't be on. You can't be in the competition.
How y'all know that?
You kill us. It's not even a competition.
What I'm saying. So my Kobe's didn't get no recognition. That's crazy.
Look, man, we can do it again.
No, man, because we'll lose. I'm not doing that.
Well, we'll just say, all right, you're the winner of that round.
All right,
and then we'll put D'Angelo against three other people. We'll move him on to the next round. And then, you know, we'll have, like, I don't know, I feel like the Nets are probably gonna have some hot sneakers this year all around.
Our colors are easy to work with, so yeah, I think that's definitely a plus.
Yeah. So wait, what'd you wear last season? Kyrie's?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're gonna wear those again this year? No.
I don't know.
No.
Hopefully I can wear my shoe, but I don't know.
Ooh.
Oh?
Ooh. Ooh, your shoe?
I'm just saying, it's a dream.
Oh, you meant like with Nike.
Just saying, period.
Oh, big baller brand?
I was going to say, Spencer already told me he's wearing nothing but big baller brand next season on court.
Hey, man, I'm trying to wear my shoe, too.
I don't know nothing about that.
There it goes.
I'm just saying, I would love to one day be able to wear my own shoe.
Yeah. What I'm saying, that's a dream.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah, so what do you guys, I mean, not necessarily like big baller brand, but.
No, I'm saying in general.
Yeah, no.
Like
so
everybody
am I,
would love to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would really want to have my own shoe.
Yeah, like, I mean, especially from my perspective, right? No brand wanted to touch me last year. Mm. You know what I mean? I still don't even currently have a shoe deal right now. You know what I'm saying? On August 3rd, 2017, I don't have a shoe deal. So, like, man, I would love to wear my own shoe. That'd be crazy. But, I mean, how would you get that done? It'd probably be too difficult. So,
hoop.
Hey, you're right. Just hoop. Put that ball in the basket. I think a lot of people have a dream of Nike giving them their SIG or Adidas giving them their SIG. You know what I mean? And I think, from a perspective of usually people that decide to do their own thing, it either comes from a place of leverage or it comes from a place of pain. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So either they're inspired to do something because of something that happened in their life, or they know they have the leverage, you know what I mean, to do something and get away with it. So, you know, if you're not coming from one of those perspectives, I mean, I wouldn't see you investing the time, energy, or resources into creating a shoe.
So who's got the hottest shoe on the Nets?
Who will? Me.
No rebuttal? Damn, you're just going to let him get away with that?
Nah, I'm just playing. A lot of people's shoe bag is a lot more expensive than mine.
Yeah.
Because I told you, I don't have no shoe deal right now. So yeah. I don't get all the latest stuff.
We got to get you some Slam.
Yeah.
Not Slam sneakers, but Slam branded.
We got to get me a Slam cover. That's what we need, man. That's what I need. Slam cover like November or something. Run it. I'm telling you, I need it. Me and D'Angelo can be on it together. Co-brand us.
Yes, yeah, like
these.
Huh?
What?
Yeah, partner cover. D'Lo and
you, Jeremy.
Me.
You, Jeremy. D'Angelo. You gonna put Allen on there? That's your boy.
All right, put him
Allen.
On.
Allen, Isaiah.
Okay. However.
Who else is on that backboard?
Oh, you gonna put the whole
Karis?
Man, you gonna put that's gonna be a big cover, big fella. We got like 12 guards. Rondate 6'7". He a guard too.
Oh man, we might be able to make it happen. Who knows, bro? Who knows where this crazy world is gonna lead us?
I know it could be real wild, right?
So what up? What else you got going on this summer? And what's the deal? What are you doing this August?
Man, staying in Brooklyn, working out, trying to get better, improving, and hopefully start to solidify my standing and my ground with the Nets.
Yeah. No trips to Turks this year?
No, that was early, man. That was in May. That was back when I was chilling.
Yeah.
Or April, actually. I don't know.
Yeah. What about you, D'Lo? You got anything going on?
Grind time, honestly.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get situated. I just moved here, so I'm trying to figure out my ins and outs of the city. My little places to eat, little stuff like that. I feel like that's where you figure out in the summertime, especially when you're new to somewhere. As far as basketball, like I said, it's grind time. Really trying to take my game to another level. You know, learn for whatever I can learn from and teach whatever I can teach. So,
I'm ready. Well, fellas, appreciate you both coming through today. Yeah. Spencer, I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, man.
D'Angelo, you might catch me riding on a city bike through Brooklyn one day. Hopefully, when I say what up to you, you won't curve me immediately. But, it was a pleasure. Thank you both for coming through.
Thank you.
Yeah, best of luck going forward, man. Thanks.
No doubt.